Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Why do we always do that?
Because it's awesome.
Addicted.
It's like going to a Mardi Gras ball. It's fun.
Yeah, okay.
It cannot be. He's also,
yeah, going bah, bah, is far more fun to me than going to a Mardi Gras ball. Fun lasts longer.
Yeah, well, okay, and it's not followed by a headache after the show's over.
Yeah, Charlie would know, wouldn't you know, Charlie?
That's right.
Yeah, you got a white Zinfandel hangover.
That's the worst kind, by the way.
It is.
But this show will not produce a hangover. It is habit for me.
Just thinking about that, Charlie, that picture in my mind gives me a headache. But welcome to the Sip and Chew Show. It's May Day out there, the first day of May. And
did you wait till midnight, till almost midnight to go try and buy your maypole?
No, I was in bed before midnight.
Oh, I wonder, do any elementary kids do maypole dances anymore?
I remember doing that when
it was really fun. I bet most kids don't even know what it is.
What it is, and no, they're too busy other things. We won't get
into doing things that are more interesting.
It's not one of those shows.
Well, now, if it was an app on their telephone, they could probably do it. Cell phone.
I remember in elementary and, well, mainly elementary.
But middle school, too, or junior high.
Elementary. Is that a word?
Elementary.
Speaking of elementary.
Dear Watson.
I've been fortunate enough this week. I've run into a bunch of folks I know that we've known each other since, like, the first and third grade. In restaurants, no doubt, you know. Of all places, I've had a good week running into folks I know, and I had dinner with some the other night, and ran into some at Butch Cassidy's and different locations around town. It's good to see people that and know they're still alive and kicking,
and still have their hair.
Even better than running into people knowing they're still alive and kicking is still being alive and kicking to run into them.
And me too. Yeah. On both ways. Yeah.
Yeah.
but I made sure to tell them, hey, the 50th's coming up. You went to school at least 12 years. You ought to know how to count to 50.
You're a Davidson grad?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
WP.
WP, that's right.
Who was the principal there then?
Mr. Black, who just passed away several months ago.
And how many times did you get to visit his office?
Huh?
Was it Lloyd Black?
Yeah.
Oh, that was principal at MGM.
And he was world famous because he would go work out at the gym in his overalls, and so it kind of got picked up, and he was on the news and in print all over the world, and Australia and Austria and Europe, you know, all over Europe.
So how many times did you visit him in his office?
You know, not that many because the coaches kind of, you know, what happened in the coach's office stayed in the coach's office.
Mm-hmm.
And the coaches took care of the athletes, the ones who played sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the coaches took care of them.
Yeah, you lived in that era.
I lived in that era.
I played in the era where you had to keep your grades up.
Yeah, and well, we had to do that too. We just didn't get paddlings for that. But
they sent us to the coaches to get paddled.
Yeah. I can tell you, that little area of meat below your buttocks and right above your knee, that little soft area back there, that's where it hurts at. Not on the butt, but that little right below the butt on that leg, that hurts.
Mm. Sound that like a hurts. Man with experience.
Well, we were talking about my teacher at Glendale in Pritchard way back in the 60s. He called me Mr. Tobby. Boy, I loved Mr. Tobby. He was great. But Brandon had him at a Dodge Elementary. But he caught me running down the hall. He said, Mr. Bailey, we got to break you that running. So he brought me out in front of school, and I had to walk up and down the sidewalk on my tiptoes. until I couldn't walk anymore. So they could do that back then. Yeah, you can't do that today. It's child abuse today. But I kept running. It didn't stop me from running.
Yeah. Well, my freshman year at MGM, at the end of the year thing where they give out the scholarships and all that stuff, Mr. Black announced that the following year would be his last year. He was retiring. And I went home and I, you know, called my sisters up who had had Mr. Black and my brother, and they said, yep, says the same thing every year. And it
get
every year I was
up.
There, at the end of the year, he would announce that the following year would be his last year. He was there probably 20 years after I graduated.
Ed Davidson, he used to walk up behind people, boys and girls who were holding hands and slap their hands. He'd walk, come up behind them, slap their hands, wouldn't let you hold hands in hallways or anywhere.
He would have had a visit from a very angry law enforcement officer had he done that to me.
But yeah, they I mean, he didn't slap it hard. He just kind of come up and broke it, broke the chain, so to speak. But anyway,
it only hurt if you only had one girlfriend for in the 4 years you were there.
So, what it hurt is your if your other girlfriend found out you were holding another girl's hand, that would hurt.
Yeah, well, I ain't like you, man. I didn't play those games. Hey, man, Ben Griffith says, hey, guys, in the Facebook chat.
Hey,
you can't
Ben.
See it because
it's over there. Yeah. Hey, Ben.
Mr. Okra Seed Oil. I'm so excited about that. I talked to Chris Sherrill about it, and he said, and if you're listening, Ben, Chris Sherrill's a distributor with Cisco and one of the best chefs in the Southeast, and he said, I'm interested in that.
Hey, listen.
I never thought of that. Listen, okra seed oil.
Shh, don't talk about it.
Oh,
it's a secret.
You folks listening, pretend we didn't say
it. All right. How long ago was that we met him?
Well, a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. Well, has it been a month, maybe?
Probably not.
Okay.
Three weeks.
Well, the reason I asked, he said, I was talking to him about corn. I said, I think I've seen corn. Yeah, we just put corn in the ground. Corn's like 3 foot tall now. Over in Baldwin County. And I can't wait because I love fresh corn.
Bring on the Silver King and Queen.
Oh, I grill it in the husk on the grill. Oh, my God. I could eat corn every day.
Now, Charlie, you've done enough shows with Bill Finch to know there's no such thing as King and Queen. They're just names they put on just corn.
Well, the type of corn they do.
Well, it's sort of a white corn with little tiny kernels.
I thought he said that one dries out. One dries out quicker than the other.
I think he said they're exactly the same thing.
But one dries out quicker than the other.
Why you want to dry it out? Like you making popcorn?
No, I'm saying that one doesn't hold the moisture.
Oh, okay.
The moisture in the kernels as long, only a few days.
Well, they're not. They both don't come to fruition at the same exact time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I remember, I think Bill Finch said that.
Okay.
Because I wanted to listen to him when I knew he was going to talk about
it. I thought he was talking about it at the same time he was going, there's no such thing as a Creole tomato.
It's
because there's not. It's just a tomato that you bought in Louisiana.
Or that you put spices on.
No, it's just a tomato. Okay. There's, yeah.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah.
But now the corn, I mean, I just love seeing the corn because I think of two things.
What's that?
Grilling corn.
And moonshine.
Because I think about our buddy over there, Detling, Seth Detling, and his wife and his business over there.
Yeah.
And I think he grows his own corn, if I'm not mistaken. Or he grows a good bit of it. But he's having to buy so much of it now, he's probably wiping out all the crops on the Gulf Coast.
Dude, do you know how much corn this country throws away every year?
A lot.
More than we sell and use.
Well, now more of it's going into gasoline now with the 15%.
They're going into 50, so they're making the gas even less efficient.
Yeah.
Yeah, without the
and
corn,
more harmful to your motors.
Right, and the environment. It's far dirtier than pure gasoline. But they got to do something with all that corn that they give all those subsidies to Monsanto for.
We got to be careful, though. We got a misinformation czar in Washington now. Did you see her video of her doing a Mary Poppins?
Nah, I don't watch anything to do with politics. I'm not interested in it.
Well, it affects you whether you're interested or not.
Well, it doesn't affect me because there's nothing I can do to change it.
Well, that's true. It is sort of above our pay grade.
Yeah, it is.
You can register to vote.
Can I vote for a member of any party that sends a presidential election up?
Sure.
No, I can't.
In the general election, you can't.
No, because not every state will allow that. Well, they only allow Republican and Democrat.
Well, you got to have many signatures to get on the ballot.
You shouldn't have to have any signatures to get on the ballot.
Yeah, but then you'd have 500 parties.
That's what I'm saying. Until we clear it up so that you don't have to be in a party, they're all rigged. 343-0106 is the Callahan's Irish Social Club text line.
We'd rather listen to you than politics.
Don't forget the 251.
Got no clue my God, the 251. Chicken pot pie is made of.
Just know everything's doing fine down here in Lunch Lady Land.
Oh! Well, I wear this net on my head, 'cause my red hair is falling out. I wear these brown orthopedic shoes, 'cause I got a bad case of the gout. I know you want seconds on the corn dogs, but there's no reason to shout. Everybody gets enough food down here in Lunch Lady Land.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hi, my name is Alon Shia from Stratton, New Orleans, and you're listening to Sip and Chew from Mike and Stu.
Mike, you got something on your mind?
Well, we got to thank our sponsors, Bob's Downtown Diner, Corner Fat and Happy, Peace, Love, and Bacon Grease.
Aren't they about to have one of their biker ride-in thingies for
they
charity?
Are. Yeah. They are. I don't know the exact dates, but
I'll look for it while you're...
Yeah, will you do that?
Yeah, while you're doing that, while you're paying the bills, I'll get that information.
And Le Bichon Wine and Tapas Bar. I did work there, though, the night as a guest server, guest fill-in. And
celebrity guest.
Celebrity fill-in, yeah.
Did you have to wear an apron or a costume?
No, I just wear all black. I'm the man in black, like Johnny Cash. But because I love the Cash.
I see the resemblance.
And they have like three different versions now of things they do with that pimento cheese there. So you got to go buy it and get it. You can just buy some in a plastic container and get it to go.
And, you'll let me?
Huh? They'll let you.
Yeah.
And also, it'd be good on some of your stuff, Stu. Uh-huh.
I think it was Jeremiah at Southwood Kitchen did a pimento cheese mac and cheese.
Ah. And then we want to thank Deborah Hodges over there and her family at Hall's. Sausage and meats and wholesale meats.
I'll be hitting them up for some andouille this week.
They're locally owned. They're over in Chickasaw.
Chickasaw. Iroquois.
And, huh?
Iroquois.
Iroquois. Cool street name. And then, of course, Roy and the gang over there at Butch Cassidy's at the corner of Florida and O'Shell in Flo-Shell District.
Yeah. You know, if so, Roy ain't careful, that Butch Burger's going to become famous.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right, Stu.
Yes, sir.
I got something to debate with you about.
Well, that's going to have to wait till the next segment.
Do we need to get Phil in here to referee?
No, we got a call.
No, we got something important we want to talk about. Let's go ahead and bring Cookie up because we got to talk about this subject.
Yeah, we'll leave it for the big one.
Hey, okay. Cookie.
Good morning, Cookie.
Hey, how you doing, Cookie?
It's wonderful to hear you guys, you know, as always. Well, mostly always. No, but really, I do have a question to ask you.
Okay, go for it.
I know between the two of you, with your genius in your fields of things. Now, this is a cooking question because I ain't genius in that. Well, actually, I do good, but I ain't genius. Roux,
X.
Yeah, making roux cubes.
Are you talking about a cold roux? Because I was just talking to someone about this.
I'm talking about making things that you can compile and put in the refrigerator and or maybe even the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, that you can drop into other, you know, for...
Are you talking about like doing in ice cube in ice cube trays, and then you can add what you want as much as you want like that?
Yeah, Yeah, or put it, you know, put it in something and then cut it up into whatever kind of, you know, dice you want to. I happen to have some very, very small ice cube tray things that would be perfect for it.
So you'd have just enough roux to make like one cup of chowder, if that's what you want.
Well, I'm not talking about chowder necessarily.
Well, I just picked that at random.
It could be gumbo, could be spaghetti sauce, could
I would take
you know,
one.
Like
I would take
gravy,
a...
Any,
I like taking wild rice.
Sauces,
right.
Any of that jazz.
I like taking wild rice, Cookie. I like taking... I like taking wild rice and put like an au jus or something, pour that over wild rice. And, you know, that's a good idea. That would be good to put the roux... just melt and warm up a, heat up a cube of roux in a microwave in a cup, and then just pour it over my rice. I like that because I love that.
Just
I
butter
love,
and flour.
Well, I mean, or just a roux. After I make, see, when I'm do a roux, I make enough.
The reason I'm calling and asking you is because Mike had said before that he makes roux in the microwave.
Yeah,
which I think is a genius idea.
Well, Alton Brown
is okay. Do you heat the flour first dry? Mm-hmm. And then add oil, or do you heat the flour and oil together?
Together. And I take 5 pounds of bacon, get my drippings, my my bacon fat, and then I put it in a Pyrex bowl, and I start adding a little flour at a time. And then that's enough, with 5 pounds of bacon, that's enough of roux to make 20 gallons of gumbo. But I did that for when I did competition. I did that when I did competition. Or I could take that because you put it in the refrigerator and it turns into like a paste, and you can cut it up into squares and quarters, and only use like a quarter at a time.
Yeah.
But that's a good idea. I like the idea of putting it in ice trays.
Right.
And then I could use a cube at a time.
You can use it home, you know, in addition to – but I'm telling you, man, you are a genius to have come up with that for competition.
Well, I was taught that. And Alton Brown, when Alton Brown was on Dolphin Island – he said, you know, he's right, because he said, why do you do it in a microwave? I said, well, if you do it on a stove or in a stove or on a fire, you got hot spots and you don't get the heat, the pot or pan hot evenly. Plus, a microwave is hotter than a stove. So it distributes the heat more evenly.
Do you stir it while you're doing it?
You do it in increments of 5 minutes. And then you take it out with a whisk, and when it hits the air – it forms like a crust on top, and you punch it, just almost like wine and some liquors and beers do. They form a crust, and you punch it. That's called a punch. And you just start whisping as fast as you can, and you spin your bowl. And then once it turns into a soft, buttery paste, you stick it back in a microwave and hit it for 5 more minutes on high. Until you get that.
If you want to, you do add some of that wine or beer or whatever.
Well,
you
know, I add it to me.
Okay, you got it going on.
I add it to me, yeah.
Bye, guys.
Thank you, Cookie.
You know, and one other advantage, you don't have to, if you're doing gumbo or something else with a roux, you don't have to start from scratch.
Yeah. You know, well, you so have to remember.
Cut down prep time.
You use different roux for different. You don't use the same roux for gumbo that you would use for anything else.
That's
the
different.
The roux you make for gumbo is good for one thing, gumbo.
Well, see, the roux.
Because it's burnt roux is what it is.
And mine is bacon.
Essentially.
Mine is bacon fat and all
right.
purpose flour. That's all mine is.
Yeah. And if you're making a soup or something, you don't want the same roux you'd put in gumbo, because then it's just going to make it taste like. You know, gumbo.
Well, mine has like a almost, you would think, it'd be burnt.
Yeah.
It's such a dark brown, it almost looks black. But when you put it in gumbo, it breaks it up.
Very few of the really dark roux that people go, if you do it right, you know, it won't taste burnt. They're lying. They taste burnt.
Mm-hmm.
You know how the old Louisiana grandmothers got theirs that dark without it tasting burnt? Kitchen bouquet. Every one of them has a bottle of Kitchen Bouquet. The only time I have ever had a really, really dark roux that did not taste burnt is Jennifer Botiford's gumbo.
Mm-hmm.
Every other time it's a dark roux, I don't care how good you are, who it is, it tastes burnt. You know why? Because it's burnt. That's why I like the peanut butter color when I do gumbo.
Yeah.
I like mine darker. A little darker is fine. That black coffee stuff, that's the worst gumbo I've ever had. That dark, 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 dark stuff. But again, it wasn't the gumbo I was raised on.
Mm-mm.
And that's how you should you should throw those prejudices out.
Yeah.
If you are judging this gumbo versus that gumbo, the one that you're going to say is the best is the one that's most like what you grew up on.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're right. Doesn't mean that's the best.
Right.
It just means it's the closest to the one you grew up on. Same with barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a friend go, I don't know why anybody would eat Carolina barbecue. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's, no, it's not. It's phenomenal.
Matt Golden.
Mm-hmm.
He submitted a gumbo
mm-hmm.
in the gumbo competition at St. Ignatius that me and Danny Lifford were judging. And it's what he's going to be serving at his new restaurant, Margo's. Mm-hmm. Oh, we can talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's all out there.
Oh,
it's everywhere.
Right.
Everybody knows about it.
All right.
Don't you know about it, Charlie?
It's the anyway, other one.
I bet Phil knows about it.
It's the anyway, other one. They don't
that
know.
Gumbo, I looked at it and I go, this ain't your grandma's gumbo or your Aunt Edna's gumbo. But it was good. It was delicious. And I said, I'd order this. I would order this.
All right. 251-343-0106. Is that right, Charlie? Is that what we got to do now? We got to list all 10 numbers. All 10 numbers. All
right. Yeah, but you don't have to put a 1 in front
that's
of it.
That's the Callahan's Irish Social Club.
In a few years, you'll have to dial a 1, too. Callahan's Irish Social Club text line.
Yes.
Work that out, did you?
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey, folks, this is Arthur Green with Bay Barbecue, and you're listening to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
That's my favorite barbecue.
You know, I can drive down that road and smell that stuff. Oh, my God, it's good.
And what's that across the street from?
Butch Cassidy's one of
our
sponsors.
Oh, yeah, Butch Cassidy's Cafe.
Yes.
That's
their
right.
Flo Shell.
Yeah, Flo Shell.
But anyway, Charlie, you wanted to say something about a gumbo company?
Well, since we're talking, you guys talking gumbo in the last segment, and
we
Cookie
were rude the day we brought this subject up.
Well, I appreciate Cookie's question because that got us on to gumbo, one of my favorite dishes. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we've got an event coming up. It's the Rufus B. Lee, and I don't know who he is, Gumbo Cook-Off, presented by the Propeller Club of Mobile and the Port of Mobile, and it's coming up on Friday, May 20th. From 5 to 8 p.m. at Cooper Riverside Park. That's downtown for those of you not in Mobile.
That's the one on the river.
Yeah.
With the train in the middle of it.
And the reason, and that's a misplaced train track. I don't know how that happened.
It was there before Cooper was.
Yeah,
it was.
They didn't think to build a tunnel or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And does Cooper still have a statue sitting on the park bench there?
Yeah.
Because I took a group of third graders down there one time, and all of them wanted to sit by the statue on the bench.
And that's why it's there.
Yeah, well, it's a cool thing. Anyhow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
War Eagle,
what was that, a War Eagle chant?
Yeah, because we knocked off number one Tennessee yesterday.
Ooh.
So anyway, Charlie.
Okay, anyhow, the cook-off is to celebrate National Maritime Day to recognize America's maritime industry and those who serve at sea. Tickets are $15 for age 13 and up. And if you want to know more about it, again, it's May 20th, 5 to 8 in the evening. Go to propellerclubofmobile.com and look for the event page, and you'll see all
now,
the details.
And we know a couple of celebrity judges.
Now, do I know?
You guys available for judging?
Now, I want to know.
I'm a certified eat food judge. Mike's working on it.
I want to know. If you have to own a propeller to be in the Propeller Club.
Well, and I'm wondering, is that the propeller on an airplane or is that the screws on the back of a ship?
A propeller's a propeller, I would imagine. And it's maritime.
I would imagine that
a
lawnmower would qualify or a fan.
Sure.
Yeah, they have propellers.
But anyhow.
We have fans.
The only type, and we've talked about
our
this too.
Our moms don't count.
The only real type of gumbo I don't like is watered down, like maybe I came at the wrong time of day, but some of those restaurants around Jackson Square in the French Quarter area, and that's when they water it down.
Tourist traps, man, tourist traps.
Yeah, because the tourists coming into New Orleans, maybe they've never had gumbo in their pitiful life.
Yeah.
And so they think, they go back that, home saying.
The best gumbo I ever had in New Orleans was at an Italian restaurant.
Hmm.
Well, and Italian. Most people in New Orleans say that's the best gumbo in New Orleans, too.
Well,
Italians,
I'm sure Italians
Well, Mandina's is right over there in Spanish Fort
now. Hadn't been over yet.
I haven't either. But yeah.
What was the name of it?
Mandina's.
So.
Yeah, it's been in New Orleans like 75 years, Charlie. It's one of the oldest restaurants.
Talking about the one
in Spanish Fork. Oh, yeah, that one opened like 6 months ago.
Italiana. Everybody in the seat there says it's a good.
But it's up by the container park, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Okay. I know one Italian word for refrigerator.
Oh. What?
Isoboxa.
Oh.
Best I can do. I'm going to turn my mic off the rest of the show.
All right. Oh, wow.
There we go. So anyway, Stu, other night, I was invited out to dinner.
At a restaurant to remain unnamed.
Yeah, a restaurant to be
unnamed.
We're dealing
with hypotheticals based on something that actually occurred.
Yes. I'm just trying to get educated on this.
Edumacated.
So we went out to dinner, and my friend said, they kept saying, when we talked during the day, he says, order what you want because we got a minimal.
Right.
So I thought that it's his company telling him, you know, it's the last week of the month.
Yeah.
You know, you still got some money left on your budget you need to
blow
use
it out.
Up.
Yeah.
So we ate, and when we were leaving, he says, no, the restaurant required us, we had to spend a certain amount of money, minimal,
right,
on our party size. When we made the reservations.
So they let you know at the time of reservation.
Was for seven people.
Right. So it wasn't
and
something thrown on you.
So
at
they
the end
threw
of the
us
meal.
A dollar amount, what the minimum was that we had to spend.
Right.
So
to make
well,
it
seven
profitable
people,
for them.
Yeah. For seven of us, that dollar amount was not a problem.
Right.
And it wasn't almost a problem for five of us either. But only two of us were drinking wine.
But you handled that on your own, right?
We were close.
Yeah.
We were close. I put them over the top.
Yeah, get a dessert for to go.
We did have dessert.
Yeah.
So anyway.
No, I mean get one to go as well.
Yeah, there's that. So anyway, two of them were not able to come. And so we had dinner. And when we got outside, they said, they were requiring us to do it. I was flabbergasted. I was blown away. Mm-hmm. So I know I sent you a message.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a response.
Right.
And I contacted some friends of ours.
Mm-hmm. And they were shocked.
And they were blown away by it. They've never heard of that. And these people.
I've not heard of it. I didn't. And which is different from liking it.
One of these people owns a fine dining, a nice restaurant downtown, along with some other restaurants. And he said, I never heard of that either.
Right.
And he and somebody else that I'd spoke to had already talked about what I'd said. And then I talked to some other people, and I have a friend. He has to travel around the world a lot with his job.
Right.
So he goes to some of the big cities in Central America and South America and Europe and out west and then up north. And he said, yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
So I've been in a lot of restaurants.
Right.
And then I talked to a chef that I know who's worked in New Orleans, and she says, yes, that's common in New Orleans. And after talking to you and talking to her, and then the guy who travels a lot, I understand now more than I did. But it just blew me away.
And honestly,
and so if you'll explain, if you'll explain why
when
they
you
do
make
this,
a reservation for a large party, whatever number you tell them, you owe them for that. If people don't show up, the restaurant shouldn't lose money for that.
Yeah,
you guaranteed them seven people.
Mm-hmm.
Seven people should show up.
Yeah.
Period. Unless you call them before time and let them know, hey, the party has shrunk or the party has grown. You should never, ever show up at a reservation without the same amount of people you made the reservation for. Ever.
Yeah.
Period. Because you're already, if they have to put more than one table together to accommodate you, then you are already outside the norm of what they're designed to handle.
Yeah.
And they don't mind doing the service attitude. Yes, because I want your seven top end, Mike.
Yeah.
I'd love to have y'all come in. But we need to do some things, and those things they have to do cost money. And I've told you before, Airport Boulevard in this town is why every restaurant in Mobile should require reservations. Because people will have a party coming up. It's mom and dad's 40th anniversary. It's Jen is graduating from South Alabama. It doesn't matter what the party is, and you want to celebrate, and we want to accommodate that. But in this town, Mobile, Alabama, people will call every single restaurant on Airport Boulevard to make a reservation for that. And then at the time of the party, they'll decide what reservation they want to go to. So now you've got 25 other reservations where they have staffed up, brought people in that weren't scheduled to work, hired extra cooks, bought extra product, and then you don't show up. That's not just, oh, well, you lost money. No, you just stole from them, period. And that's why you see a lot of restaurants now are requiring.
Calls them a lot of unnecessary expenditures.
Right. If you make the commitment to a reservation, is just that, you've made a commitment. And that's why a lot of places now, and the rest of the country, have always done this. This is an anomaly in Mobile. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people love the fact that, man, I just want to be able to walk in a restaurant and get a table. Well, I'm sure you do, man. Mm-hmm. I'd love to walk into Walmart and get a color TV and not have to pay a dime for it. But that's not how the world works.
Yeah.
You know, simple as that. It's not hard to make a reservation. Pull up their app. Mm-hmm. They usually have something on
Most
their
of them
app.
Have an
their
app.
Their website. Call mm-hmm. them on the phone. 20 years ago, 25 mm-hmm. years ago, no one thought a thing about calling a restaurant to make a reservation on a Tuesday night for dinner.
Yeah.
That's just what you did. We do everything else on our phones now, mm-hmm. with the exception of, we don't look at a menu at a restaurant before we go in there or while we're sitting in the drive-thru line, and we refuse to call them to make a reservation. Mm-hmm. But you'll do everything else on that phone, stuff that phones shouldn't even be doing.
Yeah.
Really, should you be able to watch an Avengers movie on a telephone? It's cool to be able to do it. I love it. But use it for what it's meant for. You know, and when you do that thing where you line up these reservations and no, you're well, and one of the ones I hate to hear is, we're going to have between 15 and 30 people coming in for a group. All right, when you get that number whittled down, call me back. You shouldn't even be talking to anybody until mm-hmm. you know what the number's going to be.
Hey, yeah. Stu.
Yeah, 15 to 30, that's too broad a range.
Yeah, too broad.
10 to 12?
That's
yeah. Yeah, that's yeah. Okay. But yeah. Even 10 to 5, that's too big a gap. That's an extra table or two.
I tell you a problem we have sometimes, and maybe it's a family anomaly, and that's getting everybody at the restaurant at the same time.
Right, and that's up to y'all.
Well, what happens is that we have people en route and some people are there. Mm-hmm. Should we all just wait in the lobby till the whole group shows up?
Yeah, wait until everyone gets there, or a majority of the table. Because the thing that... This is another thing Mobile's bad at. We don't know when we're going to get there, but we want to make sure we got a table. So send one person to the restaurant to hold a table for 20 people for an hour. Mm. Well, you owe that restaurant for 19 customers that could have been sitting there.
Yeah,
that's right.
Wait outside.
They can eat right now.
If you want to make sure you get a table, make sure you get everybody there at the same time. Yeah. That's how that works.
What we've started doing is telling everybody we're going to have it a half hour earlier than we really plan to, knowing that they're going to get there about.
Well, that's like telling your date, we don't need to be there at 7, but just tell them. We need to be 5. We need to be there at 5.
Yeah. Now, my dad was a very rigid type. Time is a time. If you can't be there at that time, I don't want to see you.
Yeah.
So the way all of us were brought up is, if you've got somebody that you invite out and they're always late, stop inviting them out.
Yeah.
And that's what I do. Anybody that can't show up on time or can't behave like a civilized person in a restaurant, I don't want to go out.
What I've done, I did after this experience, I did my research.
Right.
And I'm glad I did, and I've learned something, and I understand it now.
Yeah.
Okay. And I do want to add, the place was packed on a Tuesday night. That's great. That is amazing. I am so glad to see.
That makes it doubly important that you got your reservation.
I am so happy that place was packed.
Yeah, absolutely. On a Tuesday night.
On a Tuesday night.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why they have to do that, to give you the best. This thing where we have long hours that restaurants are open, it's got to end. Your dinner service should be 4 to 9.
Yeah.
Your lunch service should be 10:30, 11 to no later than 10.
Right. All right. 251-343-0106 is our Callahan's Irish Social Club texting line, and could call us in there too.
Yeah, sure.
Or just hit all the buttons on your phone. Sooner or later, you'll get the right combination.
Down on Mobile Bay, stars are brightly shining, and my heart is pining for the South each day. My sweetheart is waiting, cute and fascinating, well, if I buy the Dixie Shore. That is why I'm yearning, and my thoughts returning to Mobile once more on Mobile Bay. Early stole my heart away, beside the sea. When
Then she gave a loving kiss to me. She said goodbye while the moon was shining high on that dreaming, beaming, gleaming Mobile Bay.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hey guys, it's Chef Chris Sherrill, and I'm here with Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
My boy Chris. You know, and to add something on, David Hubble messages at the Callahan's Irish Social Club text line during the break said thank you for the instructions on how to do reservations and everything. And Mobile is an anomaly in this country that you haven't had to do that for the last 25 years.
It's been spoiled.
Right. And that's exactly what it is. It's kind of spoiled.
Well, how is it different in other places?
They all do reservations, Charlie. They're adults is what it comes down to, is people in every other city realize, oh, if I want to go to dinner, I need to make a reservation.
Find out how many people is going to be in your party, decide on a restaurant.
Call and make a reservation.
Call that restaurant and make a reservation.
Now, and David used the phrase etiquette for this.
Yeah.
Well, this is etiquette, and there's another thing to the etiquette, Mike. Whoever's idea it is to go to the restaurant, whoever wants to get the crowd together, is the host.
Mm-hmm.
And they're responsible for paying the bill. The host is. There shouldn't be, you shouldn't have a table with 25 people sitting at it in separate tickets.
Yeah, it should be. It should be all on one table.
How he recoups his money or she recoups her money from the rest of the people is up to them. There shouldn't be.
There's now, Venmo now.
In this industry,
don't
we
can get more tips though if they're individual?
No. Because half those people will leave no tip at all.
Yeah.
This is the other reason that they had to guarantee the amount to. And I've told you about it when you text me. I took a party of 30 one time that didn't spend $25 collectively. They stole from me. That was my time. You had 25 sorority girls show up, and 15 or 20 of them split two salads between them and had water.
Mm.
That's, if you don't have the money to go out and eat in a group setting like that, stay home. That's called being an adult.
Yeah.
I know you want to go out. You love to socialize, Mike. Mike loves.
I'm a socialaholic.
Right, he really is.
A socialaholic.
And I understand that. I understand wanting to socialize. But if you don't
and
have.
And I'm by 65. I go both both ways on
I've heard
65.
That. Yeah. I read that at the truck stop up there in Satsuma. Hey, Mike is by 65.
That's it.
Yeah. Don't forget the 251.
But, or wash your hands.
I have no idea what we were talking about before.
But we got...
Yeah. But...
You got me all giddy.
But, yeah, that person is the host.
Yeah.
And they're responsible for making sure the check is paid. And that's the new thing. And we have the ability now to split checks and stuff like that. And I mentioned this in an article one time. If you are in a hurry, and that's not the restaurant's business. If you're in a hurry, you shouldn't have gone in. But if you are, I understand. You should never mention it to the people in the restaurant because it's not going to make a bit of difference. You know why?
Make them slower.
Well, no. You know why it doesn't make a bit of difference to the people in there that you're in a hurry? Because everyone else in there is in a hurry or they would have cooked their own meal.
That's it.
Right.
Hey. You know where you don't need reservations?
Where?
Bob's Downtown Dining.
No, you don't. Now, see, and that's, you know, you have to differentiate between a higher-end dining experience and a casual dining experience.
Absolutely.
So at a good, wonderful place like Bob Downtown Diner, which is where, Mike?
It's the corner of Fat and Happy. That's one of our sponsors. And then also, you don't need a reservation, but they do appreciate them at Le Bichon Wine and Tapas
Bar. You don't need reservations for two, but if you want to bring 20 in there, you'd highly recommend it, right?
But they do have people who do call and make reservations for two.
Yeah, and that's wonderful. It helps you know what you're going to do. Dave Rasp has, since he has reopened Royal Scam, is reservation only. I think he's doing okay, right?
He's doing great. Yeah. Ain't hurting. Yeah. And also, we don't want to forget our friends over there at Hall Sausage and Wholesale Meats.
You don't need reservations for them.
No, you
don't. Just go by when they're open.
And then
how that works.
And then our friends over there at Butch Cassidy's, they're at the corner, Flo Shell corner.
Right.
Flo Shell corner.
And so, with the mayor of Flo Shell being there, our good friend Roy Sewer.
That's it.
And you see, that's a neighborhood joint. Yes, you don't need reservations for hangouts.
Yeah.
Neighborhood joints. But nice restaurants, you should.
It doesn't hurt to call anyway.
Right. It doesn't hurt, especially anytime you're taking an abnormally large group, which is more people than will fit at a normal table,
yeah,
you should give them a call,
right,
just to see if there's any, because they might tell you, you know, that's when you find out, well, you can come on, but we're on a 2-hour wait right now.
Yeah.
You know, I'd much rather call and find out they're on a 2-hour wait and just go somewhere else.
Just come back somewhere.
Just show up.
Yeah, you know, nothing toward them. I'm glad they're that busy.
Right, exactly.
But we got two birthdays and they're important.
Get to them, sir.
Rick Gambino.
Oh.
Gambino. You know, the Gambino family over at Fairhope.
Not the
restaurant boss.
Oh, the restaurant boss. There we go.
Rick Gambino, the restaurant boss.
Yeah.
And then our buddy Alec. Hey,
Mike, how you do? Mike, I wanted to thank you for wishing me a happy birthday. Boy, it means a whole lot coming from you.
This is the
ball. You have been an icon in this town for the last, I don't know, 200-300 years. And we just appreciate you, Mike. And I want to,
that's Charlie you're talking about.
Now, was that Mr. Naaman you were?
Yes, that's Alec Naaman.
Because he gets as many imitators as Coach O does when he was at LSU.
Yeah, but you don't have to say words to do Coach O. When he was the coach at Ole Miss and that sports guy that could actually sing did the Coach O song.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't heard it.
I hadn't heard that.
Oh, my gosh. And he turns it over to let Coach O sing the chorus, which is. Mm-hmm. And he never says anything but the letter O.
In The Water Boy, they even had a character.
Based on Coach O.
I liked him. You know, yeah. I really did.
Yeah, terrible for really him. Not a good head coach at all.
Well, not when he plays off the field.
But one of the best defensive line coaches in college football history. Yeah.
You can make a good living.
USFL
like
is back, brother. Birmingham. I'll tell you right now.
I'm sorry. I can't watch football during May.
They beat New Orleans, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
I just can't watch football.
The original USFL, which got robbed by a crooked federal judge, and it's the only reason they're not still around. You know, they won their antitrust lawsuit against the NFL back then. The judge, I say bribed, awarded them $1.
Best judges money can buy.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why the NFL has maintained their monopoly all this year. I much prefer the USFL to the NFL. That Birmingham Stallions team with Cliff Stout as a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You had Joe Cribbs as the star running back, and Joey Jones as one of your wide receivers.
Hmm.
Who from the state of Alabama couldn't cheer for that?
No, for real.
And that team was phenomenal. The last 2 years, they lost the World Bowl, which was with the USFL championship, to the Philadelphia Stars, which were coached by Jim Mora.
Yeah,
Jim Senior. Mora. Yeah. And the high-end teams in the original USFL could have hung with any team in the NFL. They were just as good as they were. Every bit as good. Raleigh Dosh was the coach of Birmingham.
Okay.
Yeah, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, man. Oh, I love that team. Chuck Clayton.
We're good for
defense.
Them. I'm sorry. I just can't watch football in May and June, July.
That. What else are you going to watch, man? No one watches baseball in America
in July,
anymore.
We got the Tour de France coming up.
That's a great event, but it lasts 3 weeks.
4 weeks.
4 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot of
then France annex somebody else.
And they eat a lot of pudding and
they
and,
drive through Luxembourg,
Bourgois, and champagne and
not the riders though.
At night they do.
Really?
Yeah. Well.
Well, I
cool,
guess they burned enough
what's
calories
cool
they can
on
eat
the last
whatever they
day
want. Yeah.
When they're doing the Champs-Élysées,
you're right.
And they're busting their tires on those cobble streets, the little thin pencil tires.
Yeah.
But they're drinking champagne up and down on the last lap. They're all got champagne.
Well, that's cool. And they can they're burning enough calories. I guess they can afford to eat anything they
Lord
want. I'm just
mercy.
Thinking that foie gras might make you have to hop off the bike during the race a time or two. You know what I'm saying?
I know it with me.
Yeah, yeah. You might as well be eating some dark chocolate or something.
I have a Johnny Depp moment.
All right, folks. It has been a blast being in here today with y'all, folks. We hope you join us again next week.
Yes, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Support local, be local, buy local.
Oh, what else should they do?
Make out a provolone.
Provolone. Eat a few T-bones till you get your fill. Eat a New York cut hot off the grill. Eat steak, eat a big old steer. Eat steak, do we have one deer? Eat